presented by Phil from Tweener Head Tennis. Now, today we have a very fun interview for you guys. Today we have the founder of WOMO Sports, Steven Siebert, joining the podcast today to talk about what it's like creating the Rolex of tennis brands and what it's like creating one of the luxury tennis brands on tour right now, with them sponsoring Jensen Brooksby, Donna Vekic, even the Pepperdine men's tennis team. This is a brand that is definitely a luxury brand, and Steven really goes in depth into why he started this brand. For those of you that do not know what WOMO Sport is, it's a premium Italian performance that meets timeless court style. This brand delivers a modern aesthetic in pushing the boundaries of high performance design and becoming the brand for professional athletes and tennis enthusiasts. Now, it's not every day that you get to have a founder of a company on your podcast, but today we had Steven join us to talk about what it's like creating this brand, and we're very gracious to have him on. If you want to check out WOMO Sport, make sure to check out their website in the podcast description. Before you guys enjoy this interview with Steven, make sure you are following the podcast on all podcast platforms. Make sure to leave a 5-star review and make sure to follow us on all social medias and the YouTube channel. And now, without further ado, let's get into the podcast. Enjoy our interview with founder of WOMO Sport, Steven Siebert. Steven, thank you so much for joining us today. Again, for people that don't know Steven, Steven has created one of the most up-and-coming, fashion-forward, cultural-based brands in tennis right now that a lot of people need to know about and probably do know about. And if you don't know what the brand is, please look at his table. He put on a full display for us to see, but Steven, you're one of a kind, and I'm very glad to have you on the channel today.
It's a thrill to be here, and thank you for writing the nice piece and mentioning the brand, talking about some of the colleges and some of the top D1 teams and what they're wearing. Yeah, that was kind of our introduction to each other, and I really appreciate you going out of your way and doing that, and saying some nice things about the brand. It means a lot, especially supporting these college kids and coming up, and hopefully, creating some style around the sport. It's a bold move to start a brand, but these brands have been around a very, very long time. It's a pretty bold move, but it started out in a very organic way. So we'll get into that. I'm just thrilled to be here talking to you. And, I love doing this podcast for me. It's a lot of fun. I hopefully don't talk too much or get too nervous, but
that's the point of a podcast.
I do enjoy doing them. So thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. And it's always fun to hear where everything starts and kind of the origin story of where things started in tennis. And for you, I've read online that this whole idea started from you trying to dress or provide better style clothing to your son's high school team. Is that correct?
Truly how it started. It started out when we'll get to that. But when I was a kid, I was really kind of into sports, really into basketball growing up, and the Knicks and Walt Frazier and Pete Maravich and, so many of those really cool athletes that had a lot of style as well. And then one summer I ended up kind of not too far from you in Chester, Connecticut, at a place called the Tennis Academy. And really, honestly, before that, tennis clothing, I wasn't really thinking tennis by any means, but I had to have the Taquini tracksuit, which was so chic and cool and beautiful, and I wish I still had it today. And I had that Fila shirt, and it was just beautifully made in Biella, Italy. And then tennis was just not on my mind at all, but I had to wear that clothing because I just thought it was the most stylish, coolest stuff out there. So one summer I was in Cheshire, Connecticut with my brother at a tennis academy called the New England Tennis Academy, and because it's still there. Mm-hmm. It was an all-white clothing academy. I wasn't really that crazy about being there. It's like, why aren't I playing basketball this summer when I'm really playing tennis? And anyhow, so the cool thing about it was that somehow my brother and I, my parents worked out some business thing with the camp or some barter thing or something. But the beauty is they gave us passes to the clubhouse at the U.S. Open, Park Stilts. Mm-hmm. And my brother and I were there, and Ash, Nastasi, Stan Smith, Rod Laver, all the iconic, cool players were there. And these guys, for me, basketball was very cool. But then all of a sudden, I started to kind of shift into tennis, the way these guys carried themselves, their personality and their style. And, you know, I didn't really ever get to meet Arthur Ashe. I did get to meet Rod Laver, Stan Smith many times. And I think Newcomb was there. Mm. But, you know, kind of, you know, whatever they say about meeting your idols. But what I just remember about these guys is that they had, they just walked in a room. They had so much charisma. They had so much style. I think that's, I think those guys, you know, they put people in seats for a reason. They were just the way they walked out of court, how cool they were, the way they you know, their hair, their clothing, their personality, their charisma, their attitude. They had it. You know, I'm not so sure we see that much of that today. I'm really hoping that, you know, we see more personality and more charisma in sport. I think part of the club, I think clothing was part of it. So anyhow, so I kind of forgot about all that for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
Started kind of working in the entertainment business. And then my son started playing tennis at a very young age. I have two sons, one Jack and one Henry, one's at Art. He was playing tennis, and then the other one, he's an art advisor, art curator, really talented, very creative, and very fashionable. And my younger son, who was more the tennis player of the two, played on the high school team. And I guess when he was very young, took him around playing tournaments, and it's kind of fun being around him and having him work with the coach, and really had beautiful style. Just watching him for me and watching his form and his style was just, for my wife and I, was really cool, beautiful thing. So then I kind of, you know, he joined the team, and I kind of got behind the players and the kids on the team and took the team to IMG to train to see what competition was like. But before that, I looked around for tennis clothing for the team. I said, wow, what happened to tennis clothing? It was phenomenal. It looked like a Richard Simmons dance class. It was like, it wasn't even tennis clothing anymore. And I think it was just kind of blended into more activewear. And I see a lot of tennis players now kind of still wearing very much activewear. And I think these brands that these tennis players don't really understand is that a lot of them are wearing kind of running clothing. And they really, these brands that are in hard goods or shoes, they haven't really thought that much about tennis clothing. In my real deep, honest opinion, like, the clothing should be as good as the rackets. It should be as good as the strings. It should be, you know, coordinated with the rackets. It should be a lot of things. It's just not. So I looked around and, just kind of started out as a joke. I just said, wow, how am I going to find tennis clothing for his team? Like, this isn't good. This is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically I met a woman who designed for some brands, and I said, here's some drawings. It's kind of what I'm thinking about. How would I actually go about this?
Mm-hmm.
But definitely trial and error. Ended up with a small factory that was called Better Team USA, that there were Italians. They didn't really have the right machines, the right to do what I wanted to do. And then I find out that I'd go to China, try and do it in China. And I think that was difficult and complex. And I know China, you know, you've got to make, you know, huge amounts of items to kind of start something. So I actually went on my own to Italy and worked with this factory called Uno Malia, and spent some time there working on all the patterns, all the designs, and it took a long time. And then met the factories that provided the fabrics.
Mm-hmm.
Then what ended up happening was, a little time after that, that end of factory ended up closing down. And I tried to find another factory in Italy, and it became very complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But I found amazing fabrics and went in the factory who makes the most technical fabrics that most of these brands would never use, because they are so advanced and they are expensive and very expensive. Obviously, you know, they knock off these fabrics and try and do it cheap, and they cut corners. And I always thought there was room for a luxury brand, for something that was next level, something that was quality. I think things that, you know, I tell people to, you know, buy things that are going to last longer, that are going to go out of style, that you could just have. Like, if I had that Tahiti tracksuit now, it would still be great. It would still hold up. If I had that Fila shirt made in Italy, it would still be phenomenal. If you take care of things, and, you know, they last, quality things. If you look at any, you know, people that are really into fashion, they take out, you know, some of their old suits, Yves Saint Laurent, or some of their very cool suits of the day, and they're still amazing, and they're still, they've never gone out of style. So So for me, it was all about kind of trying to create something timeless. So I ended up, you know, really figuring out a great factory that a friend of mine put me in touch with that was in California, not too far from me in Orange County. And they were working with amazing brands. So then that factory ended up changing, and one of the guys from the factory ended up working with me and kind of breaking off on his own and kind of helping me and doing a lot of our production. So yeah, we bring in all the fabrics from Italy, everything, all the trims, all the collars, all the buttons. And I think probably a good thing right now is to say, yes, it is made in California, made in the US, very kind of California inspired. And very, so that's really kind of what we do. And I'm trying to, you know, so I'm in regular touch. It's complicated, ordering a collar, making a certain collar, having to, it's just really, it's like the cockpit of a Ferrari. Like, where are we going? We're in the cockpit of Ferrari.
Yeah.
Figure out where we're going. So that's pretty much the nucleus of the brand is really kind of tennis. And I think, you know, the boss grew out of tennis. Fred Perry grew out of tennis. There's so many brands that I've just been so enamored with. And, you know, just trying to stay the course and trying to provide clothing. And there's just a lot of different interesting areas of a brand. We can talk about, you know, clubs, resorts, tournaments. You know, I love Tennis Warehouse. They're great to work with. We've got to kind of get our stuff back going with them again. You know, there's a lot of avenues to really with this brand. Online, obviously, is the model, but there's a lot of things to go beyond tennis. I think padel for us is probably a little bit more interesting than pickleball. It seems like it's you know, a little bit more. You know, tennis is such an athletic sport. Padel is also such a high-level athleticism sport.
High intensity.
It's high-intensity sport. So, you know, pickleball, there's a reason for pickleball, and it's doing great. But I don't know if that's really our space. So tennis will always be our nucleus, and I obviously want to grow into fashion and lifestyle. And you know, I think there are pieces you can wear out and about. You know,
absolutely.
No, Walmart, you wear it when you train, you wear it when you compete, you wear it to the clubs, the cafe, you know, guys wear it for golf, you see it and you know, listen, I'd like to be making stuff for mega yachts. I'd love to be making their hats and their polos and their stuff. And I just think if you make things well, yes, you have to pay a little bit more. We're trying to keep things in a tennis space where it's still affordable, but you know, we can still produce the goods. When we sell stuff wholesale to clubs, it's very tough. There's very little margin. But, you know, we think these are really important clubs. We're in some phenomenal clubs all over, you know, mostly all over the U.S., but some resorts and some clubs that are just, I can't even believe that we're actually in these clubs. They're so beautiful. I mean, if you see some of these clubs, mostly a lot of them are outside of California, but, you know, some of these clubs in the Hamptons, some of these clubs in Connecticut, some of these clubs in Philadelphia, some of these Eastern clubs are just, they are just beautiful, beautiful. Places to be. So yeah,
it's a very kind of upward scale, and that's kind of what tennis is really known for. And I think it's hard to for some people to relate to that in some way, because while tennis is still a very country club-esque sport, we're still trying to make it as fun and as creative as possible. And I think that's what you're doing with WOMO. And doing that with the different colors, doing that with different athletes, doing it Donna Sport with Donna Vekic, which we'll probably get to as well. Like, that was honestly, by the way, that was the best marketing thing I've ever seen in my life, to get Donna Vekic to do Donna Sport. That was unbelievable. I thought that literally fit like a glove with the same names. And I actually wanted to ask you, with that fashion portion of it, with all these nowadays with basketball players, with soccer athletes that have these pre-match rituals or routines and these like fashion outfits that they wear, what do you think WOMO Sport incorporates with their own style to athletes that wear it off the court?
Yeah, I think off the court, you know, listen, track suits have always been, you know, from the 70s, super stylish, super cool. I think that, you know, we're making a black on black track suit. kind of a little bit like this right here with the pant
Ooh.
and the players. You're gonna have the players' initials on it. Black zipper. You know, it's very much like the detail to it. Really have to see the fabric, but the stripes and just the fabric and the fit. The fit is very, you know, it's very European, very cut. It's not baggy. It's not a box. It's not loose. It's really made very, you know, like how Tom Ford makes a suit. We like to look at our pieces that fit the way they should fit your body. It looks like it's tailor made for your body. So I think, you know, I think our pullovers, our Navigary pullovers are really cool. Like the first day at Indian Wells, you know, they said bring 50 Navy polos that we made and 50 and other two different weight polos. And we sold them out in one day. They were so demand. And so I think, you know, lifestyle, wearing, you know, wearing a chic polo, you know, wearing some very cool workout stuff that's, you know, stylish on and off the court, you know, when you're going to the gym or you're going for a hike or you're going for a, it's the everyday stuff. I mean, basically, yeah, it's kind of, you know, thinking about it, it's kind of a refined, timeless look. You know, we want people to look great and not overthink it. You know, we think that the stuff is just very universal, the colors and what you wear. I think the polos, the Henleys, the techno crews, they're just cool and they're sporty and they're athletic and they're chic. And it's like, for me growing up, like I always took notice of women in that wore these 70s, very fashionable, sporty Alaia dresses. Like everything is so right now with obviously Lululemon, with the, you know, the woman's you know, legging became so popular and became everything. I think that was a kind of a trend, and I'll probably be wearing that for a long time. But I always wanted to make a really sporty, chic women's kind of Alaia type of sporty dress. You can really see the athleticism of someone, whether they're playing it or wearing it. I think it could almost be something like, for us, I took a kind of a Ralph Lauren polo or a Fred Perry polo. And instead of a cotton PK polo, I turned it into a technical four-way stretch polo that was athletic, but it still served the same way as wearing that polo. So I wouldn't know why you'd want to wear something where you really get all the sweat stains from wearing cotton under you, where you can avoid that by wearing a sustainable, you know, hybrid, technical PK, lightweight, featherweight. It just feels like you're not wearing anything. So I think when you know, listen, your body is your temple. And for me, you know, a lot of people have very sensitive skin. So, you know, if you buy something that's really inferior and you know, really cheaply made or knockoff of a bad fabric, you kind of get what you pay for. So you end up buying something three, four times and you end up with irritating your skin. And, you know, your skin's sensitive. You've got to watch yourself in the sun. You've got to watch your body so you don't break out, you know. And I think that, you know, your body is your temple, your style is your trademark. So what you wear should be important, because obviously, you know, your eyewear is important. You know, the shoes you wear on your feet are important, but what you wear on your body, and when you cover your you know, your arms and your feet, and your you know, your body, and it's just, you should wear quality, great fabrics that are not going to, you know, cause problems for you and protect you in the sun. All of our stuff is 50 plus, the highest PVF sun protection. It's all sustainable. So yeah, we don't, you know, we don't, these places are making stuff that's $4 or $5. You know, we have some fabrics that are, you know, $15 and up in just the fabric. And that's not even getting it to the US.
Jeez.
So, you know, we'll spend on a short. I mean, it's just our collar alone and our collar, our placket costs more than I'm sure these, you know, the big brands, I won't mention their names, that they spend on an entire article.
Yeah.
Because that collar is just incredibly well made. You know, here's a little bit about actually one of our polos. But yeah, the collar and the placket, you know, it has to lay right. It has to complement the PK fabric. So it's very complex dealing with doing that. But yeah, our Henley collar, our collar, we have a separate collar factory in Italy that just makes our placket and our collar. And I wouldn't go anyplace else, as much as it's very difficult to communicate with them and get some of the things they want. But it's just unbelievable. I mean, it's incredible the way it lays, the way it feels, and how the plaque and the collar are one piece, and how it blends in with our other fabrics. So You don't, when you're making things, you don't want to overpower something with the wrong color or the wrong thing. It all has to kind of, work together and become something that's iconic and stylish. We model everything after architecture, kind of mid-century architecture, like this place here that I mean, or like old vintage Porsches and just things that like Ferrari Dino, a 911 Porsche.
Dino's a nice
These
touch.
things are so iconic. You look at them, it's like, wow, that's art. And I want our clothing to almost feel like it's art. So yeah, and we want the right people obviously wearing the clothing. And I think we're fortunate. I mean, when I look over at Indian Wells, I see, Bill Gates. We dress the Executive Tennis Academy, and Bill Gates is wearing one of our hats because he probably doesn't want to have some big advertisement. Our stuff is understated. It's low key. It's more people that don't want a big logo, staring you in the face, but still
Yeah.
knowing kind of what it is. But
Exactly.
yeah, a little bit.
Just like any other fashion brand, if you recognize the colors alone, like Tom Ford or a Gucci or a Prada, you know the symbols and what it represents with what you're wearing. It's supposed to be subtle, and that's kind of what fashion is. And with that being said too, how do you find the difference, or how difficult is it to maintain the fashion portion of your brand or clothing while still having that sports aspect for it to be usable and on the court and off the court? Is it tough to differentiate or find the right product for you to have for each piece of clothing or pant or hat?
No, listen, it's an excellent question. Obviously, we're always trying to, follow the colors, the styles of what's coming out 2 years now. But obviously, like Rolex, we're trying to be the Rolex of tennis. Really kind of, obviously we'd love our people to be wearing a Rolex watch and, wearing Walmart with a Rolex watch. We think that's really kind of the style of, Paul Newman and Robert Redford and, all those racing drivers that wear the Daytona or wear this Hulk watch that I'm wearing here. It's just, I think, we create a lot of staple pieces. So, we'll change colors. Like this year, we're doing a very kind of Bermuda pink polo that's coming
Ooh.
out, very much like the very subtle descents of Bermuda with a white short. That's never going to go out of style. That's a very cool, very summery, very cool look when you're in the south of France and it's very hot and it's in many places like that's a great color to be wearing on you because when you wear a darker color it's going to make you feel hot. So we always are thinking of the right different colors of the different shades of blue that we like, the different we do a lot with like oak coloring mixed in with our other colors, but we're not going to go too far off with bright, crazy colors. It's not really who we are. It's, we're really trying to, I guess what you would say is that, we're designing for movement, energy, and attention, and, very much everything's with a nod to the 70s.
Okay.
So everything
I like that.
we do has that retro, vintage, classic look. Like everything we thought about, what's going to help someone when the weather's hot? We designed our, I think it was genius that we, I saw it years ago, but I haven't seen it since. We put a microfiber terry cloth pocket in the short. So when you actually put your hand in the pocket, it actually dries the sweat off your hand, off your fingers, and you
Oh,
put
I
it
love
all in
that.
your pocket.
That's
So the
amazing.
wristbands, yeah, the wristband, we made these incredible premium wristbands that are really, I think really we made them for tennis players. Like we made ones that were a little bit smaller. This is really better for the tennis player. So we made these premium wristbands that, really have a great profile to them. And they are sort of lightweight fabric, minimizes discomfort. Material helps keep you dry, comfortable. Very premium. We made a Brunner Tracy green, a white, a navy, a blue, very staple colors. So yeah, we thought about that. So our mesh and microfiber in the pocket together really is very, it's all very performance driven. It's not made just to look good or cut a corner. That's not going to help a player. We want to do everything. Like the rackets, how someone strings their racket, the tension of their racket, you know, some of the great strainers in the world, like, you know, people go to Westwood Sporting Goods, they'll go to Ferguson. It's just to go to some of the specialized people. We want people, those people that are really into details, to come to Walmart for a certain reason,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we want the stuff to be very, very technical. We want it to fit you. You know, we want it to complement your racket, to complement your string, mm-hmm. complement your shoes. We don't do a shoe. You know, mm-hmm. if we did a shoe, I would do something very cool, like this new shoe that Diodoro just came out with, but I'd love to figure
out
some way of doing some collaboration. I like that brand a lot. I think Diodoro is a very cool brand, Italian. Yeah, we're open. You know, like, we'd like to work with some other, you know, I'd say other Italian brands, you know, bag brands. You know, we have a really talented, brilliant guy that I've been trying to work with for a number of years. I think we actually are going to come together and start working together. And what we're trying to do together, and he created, you know, like the Supreme Louis Vuitton bag.
Mm-hmm.
He created the Yeezy, he worked on the Yeezy shoe. He's a genius. So we want to create sort of a Uomo co-op. What is a Uomo co-op? So it would be kind of, you know, that's why the coaches and the physio and the nutrition people kind of are important. That's mm-hmm. how we kind of see the puzzle. So when we have these style lounges, the brands that we associate with, showing the brands that we align with, the company you keep, you know, people will see Uomo in good company. So that's something we want to do. We want to do that. You know, we want to do one in New York, you know, for the US Open, where the coach comes in, talks about coaching on the women's tour, coaching on the men's tour,
mm-hmm.
you know, what it's like when they were playing, what it's like today, you know, nutrition, you know, if you want to go out, whether you're, you know, a recreational tennis player or you're a high level tennis player, you're a college tennis player, what does it take?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to injuries, prevent injuries, and to play year round, mm-hmm. all the different surfaces, all the different time zones. So when we think about the clothing, we think about the time zones, we
mm-hmm.
think about, you know, we think about the weather, we follow the tour of the clothing. Like, what are the players going to wear in the clay court season? What are they going to wear during Roland Garros? We created this British Racing Green, which I think looks amazing on clay. We did a monochromatic clay color short, which is very cool. You know, Wimbledon obviously is our favorite because all the brands, you know, are keeping it, you know, keeping it all white, which I think is good, opposed to trying to make some big statement and trying to stand out. I think you stand out by quality, by the mm-hmm. way things fit, the way things look on people, not about wild colors or wearing, you know, honestly, we had a player who, it was not good for the brand, who started wearing cutoffs. And it's like, that's just, you're off brand for us. So if you want to wear your cutoffs, go wear cutoffs, but it just doesn't, it's not a good fit for us. Like, someone's not going to walk into a Tom Ford store and say, I want a Tom Ford suit and walk in with cutoffs, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it's really important. I mean, obviously, Roger, you know, the way he carried himself, the way Novak carries himself, you know, these guys have great style and off court, on court, and they know, they figured it out. Obviously, they've been successful. When you are successful, you learn a little bit more about style. You know, I think as you become successful, you know, you learn about, you know, how to, you know, how your media training is. I think a lot of players will go out to do speeches, and I think it's up to their agents, because some of these players are going to look back and say, wow, you know, my speech, is that really what I want to get across? And I think all these things about being a professional, you know, looking professional, quality, you know, quality is everything. You know, how to dress, how to look like you're a quality person, you dress in a quality style. How you speak about yourself, how you speak about the sport. No, it's not like, you know, I think it's important. I think it's important that quality and the person you are, that you carry it, you know, through the generations. And
mm-hmm.
for me to see, you know, my son and see these kids, the way they grew up in the world and, you know, how close of friends they are with each other. I think tennis is such a great bond
mm-hmm.
for so many things. And it's just, what you're doing, what I'm doing, it's really, honestly, there's nothing better. There's not a better bond than anything. And, you know, you're going to meet the most interesting people in a tennis racket. You always meet someone interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great to play with a family member, but you pick up something new, you hit some balls with, you have a conversation. It's just interesting for me. I, you know, it's like, I always try to go to a place that has a court, and yeah, it just keeps you in shape. It keeps your mind clear. You live longer by playing tennis. I'm sure of it. you stay fit. So yeah, there's just all these things, you know. So I don't know. I think it's an interesting era right now. I think it's, you know, I think it's very, you know, players that for me, I kind of put a little list together of, you know, the 23 and under players. And because I think, you know, as these guys get to be 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 30 and above, we have some amazing players right now that have been, you know, been doing so well. And they're honestly, there's, I have a group of players from, you know, from 18 to 23, and they're unbelievable. They're unbelievable to think about. You know, Sinner and Alcaraz and Draper and Musetti and Hovland and Arthur Fils and Shelton and Mensik and Lehecka is unbelievable. These Italians, Cavalli and Nardi. And I love this young American, Emilio Nava. I think he's going to really come up. And, you know, Fonseca, what he's going to bring. And obviously, we want American tennis to do well. You know, it's, so I think, you know, the colleges, kids are coming out of colleges. We're getting behind and supporting kids with colleges. We have a 18-year-old player. I can't say who she is yet, but she's going to be a major player, and she's yeah, she's really yeah, she's a 18-year-old player. You hear a lot about her. I just can't say much right
That's
now,
fine.
but
I like it. I like that. And along those lines too, when we think about brands, let's just say, let's take Hugo Boss, for example. Let's take a brand that's already in tennis right now that kind of announced itself with Berrettini first and now Taylor Fritz, a bigger name than Berrettini, and Hugo Boss doing collabs with ASICS to kind of bring their own shoe onto the market with them. What makes Hugo Boss different from WOMO in the sense of fashion in tennis?
all right, so Hugo Boss has been around, and they're obviously all over the place. They're an affordable brand. I know Hugo Boss from suits and casual stuff. I can see why they wanted to. I think people right now are not wearing some of that dressy clothing anymore that these brands, I think these brands are having a very hard time. People aren't dressing that way anymore. They're dressing more sporty. And I think it made sense for them to get into, you know, tennis. It was a way to kind of put some more eyes on maybe some of their other items that aren't maybe doing as well as they should be doing. But for me, I'd like to see brands that are a little bit more luxury. I don't really think Boss is a luxury brand. I think Zegna is a luxury brand, Loro Piana, Brunello Cucinelli, Tom Ford. You know, I'd love to see Tom Ford, who loves tennis, get into some tennis clothing. I'd love to do a collaboration with Tom Ford because I think a lot of these brands that got into tennis, I don't think they really thought about, you know, like we spent 5 years developing our shorts. I spent years and years trying to figure out what fabric. When I started the brand, I had a fabric. It was a stretch fabric. I had to put mesh under the arm and the back. Now the whole thing is like a lightweight, airy PK, which serves, you know, really well. So I'm not sure that these brands have really they've rushed into it. I think Wilson saw an opportunity from hard goods to get into clothing and align themselves with some of the Lululemon people. I think. And they're out there, and they are every place. And you know, buy if you have, if you've got to buy our balls, you got to buy our rackets, you got to buy our strings, you got to buy our clothing too. I don't know. I think it's like I think a lot of it is like fake it till you make it. And I think you know, people are saying to us like we're the new Lacoste, or someone's compared our brand to a running brand, which is Tracksmith. Or a cycling brand, which is Rafa. And I think those brands have done a great, great, great job because that's really who they are. That's really what their, you know, ethos is. Our ethos is to make the highest quality tennis clothing and to make the best fitting stuff that doesn't go out of style. We're not in people's faces with a big, big logo. Boss is a big logo. Wilson's a big logo across it. We're more understated. I think, you know, we're not going for that big, huge, wide audience. that they're going for. We're going for what a Laura Piano or a Cuccinelli or Montclair. We're going for that sort of chic, sophisticated audience. And, you know, I think we want to stay our lane. We're not trying to compete. You know, I mean, Lacoste, I would say, is probably the closest to what we're trying to do. But they're not making stuff, you know, they're not making stuff in France. They're not making stuff in you know, they're making stuff in Sri Lanka and Vietnam. We're making stuff in the U.S. And I think that's really important because the laborers that are working on, you know, our pieces are treated very well. You know, our stuff is just expensive. I keep on talking to our production guy, how can we lower our price? It's like, well, we can't. You know, we just got to put a quality product out there, and you have to pay for quality. Things are going to last. You know, we can wash our, you know, some of the players don't understand, like, we're not Nike. We're not Adidas. We can't send you tons and tons of stuff like that. But just wash our stuff, and it just, it's not going to fade. It's not going to go out of style. It's not going to shrink. It's not going to lose its this or lose its that, because it's quality. So I'd rather, I tell people to buy better, but buy less, but buy better. Buy fewer things. For me, it's all about a staple. I think most guys, what is your uniform? Like, you know, a t-shirt, a pair of jeans, a pair of Birkenstocks, whatever it is, like, what's your uniform? And I think Womo should be part of your uniform. Like, you don't have to wear the short, or, you know, Energy is short, or Retro Polo. You don't have to wear it just on the tennis court. You can wear it out and about, and you'll look great. I mean, you'll look chic. You look like you belong. Obviously, I think you'll look amazing on a tennis court. I think what Brooksby wore in Houston, what he wore, I don't know why we didn't get even more attention. Or, you know, I think the brand really, I think the polo, the monochromatic look, I think it really stood out. I mean, when Donna wore it in Indian Wells, you know, we got noticed by Tennis Channel as, you know, who wore it best. You know, I think that's really important to us. It's trying to put pieces out there that you know, really fit you well, that really look, that really belong in that tournament. You know, we're not trying to, we're respecting the tournament. I'm going to Rome for the Italian, you know, for the B&L. And I'm really excited to see, you know, you're in Italy. And I think, you know, I think with Patrick Montaglio, who created his own tennis line now, he said it's almost disrespectful the way most American men wear their clothing. And the stuff just doesn't fit them right. It's very boxy. You know, you go around Europe, you see people in France, you see people in Europe, it's like they dress with style. And I think it's important. I think it's important to go out there and really kind of, you know, you don't have to wear expensive clothing, but just look like things fit you well, that pieces go with each other. It's like who you are. If you care about how you look, how you carry yourself, you should, because that's the one thing you have control over. No one's going to tell you, maybe you're, listen, my wife will tell me, or my son will tell my wife, hey, you can't go out looking like that. Or I'll yell at my wife by some sweatpants that she wears. I just, you know, she likes, they're comfortable. She just wants to be comfortable. But I think
that's the style now. It's athleisure. It's comfort over style. And I just became very self-conscious of my Nike crew neck and my Nike hat. I'm just, it makes sense because you're trying to make a statement without making a statement. And I think that's what fashion really is. And especially when you push the boundary of it. And when it comes to creating new colors and creating new styles, one thing that I learned in college or before college, when I was looking at different areas to go through, I shadowed someone at a Saks Fifth Avenue, and they were talking about how fast fashion has kind of ruined the quality and having nice pieces for a longer period of time, and having pieces that you can have, but then you can buy immediately again and again and again. Is there somewhat of a, I wouldn't say a fast fashion component to creating different styles for each Grand Slam, but how do you maintain the quality while still producing different colors and schemes every single couple months for a brand that is maybe smaller than a massive retailer like Adidas or a Nike?
Yeah, I think for us, it's a lot of, we use these Italian trims. And piping, different trims, different colors. Like we did something that Tennis Warehouse really liked, kind of a Wimbledon pullover with the Wimbledon colors on it. And that really kind of popped and sold out and did well for us. So I think, you know, if you take certain colors and you kind of add the right classic trims that never go out of style, like you'll see on, you know, people will put like a stripe on a Louis Vuitton bag or something of that nature. So I think it's just kind of adding a little something to something that's classic and still maintaining a classic, but adding maybe an orange and a blue together, or just different, you know, just putting different colors that are can be brought into, you know, your main piece, which is, you know, going to be, you know, I've done a desert sand, I did, you know, like a lotus blue. You know, I think that there's we're going to do some, you know, kind of some. I like kind of a sky lighter blue. We might do something that way. We've also tried some things that don't work. And it's like, that just doesn't really work. We just pull back from it. So I never really want to put anything out there. It just looks like it just doesn't really, it just seems like it's too much of a stretch. But I think a
Gotcha.
lot of, you know, I think a lot of brands were doing that stuff that just looked a little bit wild, like, oh, that's really ugly. And I think that's just a little bit too out there for sometimes. I think this year Nike's. I like what Jack Draper was wearing. I think that was a good look. You know, I think that people should pay attention at a big company like Nike to the clothing because they made some amazing stuff on Federer over the years, and he did some capsule collections. So I like to think of things that we do as capsule collections, like you know, like making a certain dress. You know, I took like a seersucker suit and found this waffle fabric and kind of bringing that into some pieces on some long sleeve tops and different tops and made this kind of waffle top that I think you'll see on a few players, women mostly. But yeah, I think it's, I think you mix in the fabrics, you mix in the trims and you just try and keep it, you know, you just try and keep it very classic. But I think you know, you come up with different things every season. And I think it's mostly, whether it's the main color or it's the, you know, it's the piping or it's the trim, but you know, I think it's better to keep it classic and simple and not go too far off from what we are. It's like I like a lot of these, you know, these swimwear companies that like Vilebrequin, they had a, you know, a really nice swim company and they do some really nice classic stuff. And you know, Orlebar Brown does this bulldog bathing suit they do a really good job with. And I just don't, I think when some of these brands go too far out, I think people want the pieces in like the classic colors. And I think it's sometimes it's just, you know, these brands are just trying to produce too many pieces that are too far out there to kind of catch trends. And I think streetwear, in my opinion, when I was watching streetwear do its thing, kind of one-off pieces, like the company Kith does a lot of streetwear, I
Love
don't
their
understand why they're not, yeah,
they're
they should be picking up. Yeah, they do a
they did
great
their
job.
collab they did their collab with the Wilson
Yeah.
2, 3 years ago, and I absolutely love that collection. I actually have their hoodie and I think the Wilson Kith tennis balls. Like that to me was
Yes.
phenomenal in the way that you can make a simplistic piece that you could. And I absolutely love that collection. I actually still try to find pieces to buy from that collection.
Oh, listen, I love what they did with the New York Knicks with Kith. That was super,
Yes.
super cool. Obviously, you know, he's ahead of the curve. And you see a lot of these designers, like honestly, they're designing interiors for Porsches and designing furniture. And think about Giorgio Armani. When Giorgio Armani, I actually interned on the movie American Gigolo that put Giorgio Armani on the map. And you know, like Giorgio Armani, you know, he designs furniture, he designs sailboats. It's just having an eye for design and classic stuff. And I think that Tom Ford is just unbelievable. I think Tom Ford, even like he got into furniture, his houses that he designs are just beautiful. They're one of a kind, special, they're art.
It's art.
So I think when you talk about brands like Boss or some of these other brands, I don't know the artistry, like, you know, Loro Piana, they have fabrics, you know, that are just unbelievable, that are furniture fabrics, that are not just, you know, beautiful shoes and pieces that are very expensive, very beautifully made, that you want to have one or two of their pieces if you can somehow afford to have them. But you know, I like the smaller brands that just tend to do very cool things. You know, I was in Copenhagen last summer, and I went into a couple stores, and some local stuff that's made in Copenhagen was just unbelievably cool. So yeah, I like these smaller brands, but I think these brands that kind of trying to get into tennis from hard goods, they rush into it. I'm not so sure they think about it as they really thought about it as much as they thought about, you know, the shoe or the strings or the rackets. Clothing is very complicated stuff. It's expensive. You know, working with the patterns and the designs, and we bring in some really interesting design people who work with us. I work with a woman in Italy. She designed for Sfezi, Marni, Prada. She's the head of sustainability in all of Europe. She's a really talented woman that I work with in New York who helped us with some color blocking, and I want to work with her from time to time. She's incredibly talented. I think, you know, you just with design and style, you like what you like. And I think for anybody, like when you talk about kids, what excites you, I saw you light up. Like you like what you like. And I think people like what they like. And I don't know, I think we're onto something. I think, you know, there's a lot of room in today. But I think a lot of these brands, in my opinion, that became very successful, Alo Yoga, Lululemon, Beyond Yoga, in my opinion, you go in those stores and they're exactly the same. They blend into each other. And I think Uomo differentiates itself because it is timeless, classic, and it's not, we're not trying to be who they are, you know? And they're wildly successful brands. But I think you feel our fabric and you feel our designs, like, we have the best pleating guy, who's probably the most expensive person, but I would never have anyone else do pleats but this guy. Like he's the best guy. And I know, like you put our pleating next to, you know, pleating from a mass-produced brand, maybe in tennis or something else, and it's just, or you feel that fabric, it makes me cringe, to be honest with you. It's not that good. And it's not made to last. It's gonna fall apart. It's not gonna hold. It's, you know, it's not gonna hold the creases. I don't know. I like, you know,
You like what you like.
I like what I like. I like quality. I like things that are going to, you know, going to hold up well. Like we have a recycled drawstring cord. We have a gold tip on our stuff. It's very hard to put the tip on the cord. Very, very time consuming. Very expensive to do. The piping, the tape. You know, embroidery. We have embroidered logos. You know, we have woven labels. It's like each and every little detail, for me, it matters, you know.
Does. But that's what makes brands brands, right? And that's what makes Uomo special, because if you didn't have all of these finite details that you think are important, it doesn't make the product excel as much as you want. Because like any product that's developed, you have to have your own kind of quality assurance with yourself. It's not just the quality assurance of the product, it's how do you feel about it? And that's one thing I think in society with what Steve Jobs did was he personally tested every iPhone. He personally tested everything to say, would I like this in a product? And if he did, it would go to production. If he didn't, they would redo it over and over and over again. So it's that kind of mentality that makes, at least from what I'm hearing, makes you enjoy the process of creating new products and new pieces for Womo.
You know, when someone walks out on a tennis court or, you know, goes out to work out and I see them, I see the way it looks on them, I see the way it fits on them, I see the way they carry themselves in it, I see their confidence in themselves and, you know, in the product. And that's the best feedback. That's why people think, oh, why am I at Indian Wells? You know, where I have other people on the floor that are probably much better salesmen than me. But to talk to customers and hear their feedback and see if something's fitting them right or not fitting them right and making the adjustments. Like if somebody's not working for something, I'm going to replace it right away. Or if something is a little off, I want to make that customer happy. That's our number one goal, is to try and find something. If they don't like something, find something else, and hopefully they do like, not losing them as a customer, obviously. But you know, it's I think to have a loyal, it's a slow build, this brand, but to have a loyal customer base, I think it's really important. And I think that, listen, investors may not like, listen, we're trying to grow the brand. I'd like to put a substantial amount of funding behind the brand and really put it out there in some in a great way that it should be out there, where it belongs out there, where it stands out there. That's the goal of this next year to two. And you know, I hope we can meet that goal. And you know, we're just doing everything. This brand was honestly lifted up by friends, by people that all the guys that played tennis, live ball tennis with us, you know, they told their friends about the brand. And you know what, Tim Hudrick in Orange County, you know, gave us all these great blasts and just people all over. But you know, how Pat talks about the brand, you know, a travel friend of mine put me in touch with Burdich, how he loves the brand. And you know, listen, I wish I could write big checks to all of these people and say, hey, you know, right now, if we are successful, yes, I'd like to take care of people. I had to literally bring an investor for Jensen Brooksby because, you know, when he played Novak, he won the first set. We got 162 orders. Fortunately, I wish we keep getting orders now. But you know, Jensen did, you know, did come on the scene very well, you know, at a young age. You know, obviously he's coming back. You know, the his he made a big statement with the autism thing, a whole other thing. You know, I just think of him as a great tennis player and one of the great IQs on the tennis court.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely interesting, different type of player. You know, what they're doing with all of that, you know, is interesting. You know, how we could be part of all of that, I'm not sure. You know, he's a good kid, and I like that he's from California, and we kind of got behind him. And you know, he kind of took a chance on us. We kind of took a chance on him. And listen, could another brand pay him more money? We have another 2 years on our contract with him. I don't know. Is you know, I hope he likes the brand enough to stick with the brand. You know, I don't know. You know, it's a lot of agents in this sport are, you know. I always believe that, you know, if someone is successful for the brand, they should be rewarded. You know, opposed to, you know, I don't think a lot of tennis players sell clothing very well. I think Roger Federer, you know, did with the RF hat. I think that Bjorn Borg really did it. I don't think anybody beyond Bjorn Borg really sold tennis clothing. Tennis players are really out there on the tennis court. You know, there are some that are entrepreneurial. I think are very have always remained very fashionable people. I think that honestly, I really feel that like Goran Ivanišević, like he's a very stylish person. He wore a tikini. I think players that actually cared about style, like we have a couple of players that they wore some pretty awful brands now that we're in Momo. So I'm not sure that they really kind of understood, or maybe it was just an agent, or it was a payday for them. You know, I'd rather do well on your winnings and wear something that I feel good about and trying to, you know, take, because what are you going to get? $100,000 from a brand, or are people really buying a lot of this brand or that brand because this person's wearing it? I don't know. Are people buying Lotto because some of those players are wearing Lotto? I don't think so. Is it helping Lotto by paying some of these players? I'd rather insure these players and pay for their bonuses. And if they are successful for us and selling clothing, I'd rather, hey, you know, here's a check. Like if Donna was selling more clothing, I'd say, Donna, hey, here's a thank you. Here's a nice check. But you know, honestly, like there was an opportunity, truthfully, at, and I'll just say this to be very vocal about this. There was an opportunity at Wimbledon, which she did well. You know, it was an opportunity at, you know, the Olympics, which she did well to talk about the brand. And I'm sorry to say it, that opportunity was lost. You know, when a player can say for a minute, you know, thank you to my sponsor, Momo Sport. I love what I'm wearing. That's a really nice thing to not say that and to work as hard as we can and to feel like it's, you know, send me this, send me that, send me that. So yeah, every now and then, you know, give us a little, you know, thank you or, but I'm not sure that the mentality of a tennis player is that, you know? So I don't really blame them, but, you know, but the way, the way the Pepperdine guys are so incredibly supportive and great, the coaches and it's not easy to translate tennis players and clothing. So you know, we're doing our best. Yeah, if I had Jannik Sinner wearing the clothing, it would probably be amazing. If I had Vasetti wearing the clothing, I think it would be amazing. Just the way they carry themselves, the way they look. Or,
It's
I would.
the look, and for me too, and sorry to cut you off, but the idea that these players can have the opportunity to show off your brand versus just taking money for a paycheck, it's very different, and it comes down to a business and supporting. And there's a lot more factors that go into brands that, like, Uomo's a very special brand. And
Thank
while,
you.
like you said, like, as much as you want to give a check to these players, just showing support goes a longer way. Because, and I want to ask you this too, was there the same kind of result on your website when Jensen won Houston this year, like he did versus Novak, or no?
Unfortunately, not. I think for a number of reasons, I don't think it was on when Novak was ESPN.
Okay, got it.
ESPN has a lot of viewers. I watched it on Tennis Channel myself on that on the app, but I don't even think that they. I think they were airing other tournaments, not even the final. They weren't even airing the final of Francis Tiafoe, who's an amazing player, or the match before Tommy Paul, who's an amazing player, great athlete, and yeah, I don't know why that tournament didn't really, which is beautiful. The crowds are there, but no, we got absolutely zero, zero sales from that great kit from that tournament because it just didn't air. We were trying to do some, some ads, and it just, yeah, I think ESPN, Tennis Channel really likes us a lot. They've really been very supportive of us there. So, all of them there have been unbelievably like they understand and and they've gotten behind us in a big way. But yeah, I think that people weren't paying attention to that match the way I would like them to pay attention to that match because obviously it was an unbelievable to come from 2 years out and to play incredible tennis the way Jensen played. He was unbelievable. He was mentally so tough and he never gave up. He was never down. He was a tennis player that's never out of it. So yeah, he's tough to compete against for anybody. And I think it was an unbelievable week for him. And yeah, it was our stuff on that on those clay courts in that beautiful setting. Yeah, I was. It would have been great for it to have been televised, put it that way. So I don't blame anybody. I don't blame anybody. But yeah, we didn't get. I would have loved. I would have loved some more notice from that.
Absolutely. And Stephen, I can't thank you enough for joining us today. It's not every day we get to have someone of your caliber on the channel and the podcast to talk about such an incredible company that you have. Is there anything else? Is there any other socials besides your Instagram website that you would like to shout out or talk about before we leave you?
No, listen, that's great. I'd love for I always think talking to people that are wearing the clothing and really because there's never an opportunity for them other than a podcast or something to really talk about a little bit the clothing and how they prepare for a match and what they like to train in, what they like to play in, what they like to wear off court. I think that to talk to some of the people around the sport, the coaches, Pepperdine coaches are very, very supportive. I think some of the physio and some of the other coaches, we're going to get behind Ryan Redondo and Bedell and get Ryan in the clothing very soon. And Azuz Samvleet, who's the physio for Andreeva, who's with Rybakina. I'd love to get him, or I'd love to, it'd be great to get Milos or Pat or Thomas Berdych, some of these really iconic people that are just so highly regarded and are doing so much for the sport. I mean, obviously Thomas is coaching the Czechoslovakian team. Pat's doing many great things. Milos is you're going to be hearing a lot of very cool things that he's continuing to do and the world of tennis and finance and many things that he's such a smart, interesting guy. So yeah, I'd love to get some of these. I'd love to recommend some people if there's a right opportunity to come on your show because I think it's a I've listened to a lot of the interviews and you just do an amazing job and you really take people behind the scenes and really take them into the sport that they would never necessarily really see about or really get to know or learn about because that's more interesting than just watching a match.
Thank you.
Seeing what's behind the player, seeing what's behind the sports, seeing what's behind the brand, seeing what's behind, the conditioning, the training, and what a whole year looks like. All that stuff is really interesting to me. So thank you for having me.
No, absolutely, Stephen. Thank you so much. And I can't wait to hopefully meet you in person one day. Thank you guys so much
Definitely.
for watching. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel. If you're listening to this on a podcast, make sure you're following the podcast. And we'll see you guys in the next one. Thank you guys so much for watching.
Thanks again.